How sly that handoff was. Sweet Spirit is in this very room. Love lifts us up. How are you feeling? Okay, for those of you that did not yell, isn't it amazing the love that is being attracted by this community here each and every day, especially on Sunday? I think it's amazing what we are doing together. So let me tell you, So let me share with you my favorite word. So when I say, how you doing, you're gonna say outstanding, really loud, okay? Because today is about opening your heart. And there's a little dangling carrot waiting for you at the end of the service. So no matter how outstanding you feel right now, I've got something that's going to help you become even more outstanding. And it's a dangling carrot, or a dangling baggie, as it were, at the end. The kids are going to come up and give you this. And there is a note in here. And it says something about, hey, grow up. To paraphrase. So, how are you doing together?
Outstanding.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Take that, Forest Hills Lane, the other places down there. That way, actually. Okay. Last week, I showed you a symbol of something that meant a lot to me when I think about strength enduring. I think about a lighthouse that somehow is able to weather any storm. It endures through any fog, and the light is able to cut through and dissipate that fog somehow. Well, there's something else that does that. And by the way, thank you for your emails last week. I got so many emails from folks saying, here's what I did with my lighthouse, and people put them on their office desk, pictures. And did you build one? Anybody in your yard? No, okay. Here is something else that also endures all. This is a mantra, my very favorite mantra, one of my very favorite subjects is to talk about how love transforms. Love transforms any fog, any storm. It's the great neutralizer. It really is. There is no situation that love cannot handle. And if you don't believe me, I have from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. Excuse me, 13, verse 4. And tell me if you recognize this verse. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Or it does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. That was my mother's favorite verse, favorite scripture. And if you've heard that before, raise your hand. Yeah, you've heard it before. And so today I want to do a little bit of reframing for you. Valentine's Day. Valentine's week. Maybe even how you frame up love in your mind and in your heart, and see how this message of love transforms may make sense to you. Now, there is a story about what people think about Valentine's Day and how love is out there being talked about all the time, right? It's a little bit of an abstract concept to a lot of people because you hear, oh, I love that thing or this or that, and you just hear it all the time, as illustrated in this recent ad by the 99 cent store. Headline, attention all Romeos. Valentine tips from your friends at the 99 cent store. And there's two columns. One column on the left says good choices, and the column on the right is bad choices. A lot of like our path in life sometimes, crossroads. Good choices starts with chocolate rose in a box, flowering plant, whipped topping. I didn't write this. To be clear, the ad goes on to say jewelry. That's a given, right? Photo frame. Excuse me, ladies, lingerie. Okay, moving right along. Chicken of the sea, oysters. I didn't know you could get that for 99 cents. Let's move on to the bad choices, okay? The bad choices, number one. Anti-wrinkle patches. Maybe not so good for your sweetheart. Oh, better than that, diet tea bags. Anti-fungal cream. Hair removal kit. I didn't know that really was a thing. Pregnancy test. Breathe right nasal strips and... last but not least, gas relief pills. So that's pretty, somebody was talking to me a little while ago before I walked in about clever marketing, and this is marketing, I guess. And so no matter where you fall today on that list, or maybe you fall on another list, exploring and deepening our relationship with love, because when did Valentine's Day get hijacked? Carl and I were just having this conversation about this, you know, Valentine's Day somehow got hijacked, and through custom it became such a material holiday. And unfortunately, a lot of people are it's like their most depressing day of the year. So I think about today, when we talk about what love really is, then maybe when you're aware of folks around you that may be suffering a little bit this week, go up, give them a hug, or maybe relate to them in one of these languages even, because there's a lot of different ways to say I love you. We all know the English way, I love you. We all know the Greek way. Actually, saying it in Greek, saying I love you for some people is like saying Greek. I see Italian up there, and we learned last week that my Italian, not so much. Je t'aime in French, which I absolutely know how to say it in that way. But there's also these acts of love. So can you increase your awareness as you think about love this day and every day? Look at acts around you and say, you know, that is a representation of love right there. Just like this, some folks hugging. Somebody might would look at that and their perception there would be true love. Absolutely. What about this? What about could security be an element of love? Do some people express and seek love through having security in their life? And contentment, just being able to be content. That is quite a bulldog right there on the pug, excuse me. That's quite not a bulldog. Pug on the shoulder, but yeah, just that feeling of contentment can stir the love within. And companionship. It's amazing how animals, to me, seem to sense if you don't feel good. Isn't that some type of love just underneath that's innate with animals? I love that. And nothing says love like video games. Actually, the idea is a cute picture, but it is this idea of friendship, of being friends, best friends with your mate, and being and developing friendships with others. How do you relate to your friends? How do you relate to others, even that are not your friends? There's a book called Love Languages. So I want you to consider, what is your love language today? Has anybody read that book, Love Languages? Yeah, so there's 5 love languages that if you pay attention and if you have awareness, that people seem to use one or the other toward each other. So consider what type of love that you may be using with others. Words of affirmation. So that could be giving compliments. It could be affirming you. It could be, there was somebody that I grew up with, and she had the strongest Southern accent, and she would say, I love you, that. But she was just affirming it through words. What about the next one, quality time? Somebody may hear your words of affirmation, but what they really seek is some good quality time. And as in the example of the 99-cent store, Receiving gifts is a love language. The next one is acts of service. And all the teachings by the spiritual masters throughout the ages is about putting yourself behind or putting someone else before you and serving others, right? And what about this last one? We kind of established that humans need physical touch. And for some people, that is definitely their love language. Some people might be like, oh, I don't like to be touched. But most research has suggested that we do need those hugs. I know I'm preaching to the choir because we do hear that here at Unity. But also, I mentioned a few weeks ago about a documentary I did of hospice care and interviewed a bunch of folks that were in hospice, and they said the number one thing that they missed, it was unanimous, the number one thing that they missed was touch. So it's certainly a love language. As I see you holding your bears today, you're infusing them with intention. You're infusing them with love because there is a child. In case you don't know why these bears are here, if you came in late, there's going to be a child that could be the subject of or the victim of abuse or in one of the charities that we give these bears to. And I met somebody named John in a parking lot recently at Sam's. And he said, I know what church you go to. He said, you go to that church, I think, that has all those stuffed animals in the chairs. And I was like, yeah, isn't it cool? And he goes, well, I didn't understand what that was about. You treat me like I was 2 years old. I was like, oh, I had a perception, a paradigm that he was going to be as excited as I am. So I explained to him what it was about, and he goes, oh, yeah, that is good. And I see somebody else here in the audience today that actually told me the first time that she came years ago, that she knew it was the right church for her when she came in and saw all these animals and didn't even know what it was about. But yeah, so we are infusing that love language into the bears. I want to create a sixth love language, actually. Food. Absolutely, food. This is one of my love languages. Now, so the idea, guys, is here. Now, you have a couple days to get this straight. Maybe a couple minutes. I don't know. But think about, how do you like to give and receive love? And is it necessarily how your partner wants to give and receive love? I mean, you may give her flowers, and that's nice. Very nice. Very nice. But it may not be really what she wants to do is have a conversation with you. She wants you to truly listen. Maybe you want to talk, and she just really wants a hug. Yeah? So that could be it. So think about how we give and receive these love languages. And I read a review of this book because it's actually been 11 million books sold. So if you've read it, like many of you said, you're one of about 11 million. But there, I went back and looked at the critics about this book back in the beginning when it came out. And this gentleman said, there has been a lack of research done to test the validity of Chapman's model. Chapman, the author of the book. And whether it can be generalized. Egbert is the critic. Suggests that the five love languages might have some degree of psychometric validity despite its abstract nature. Well, to me, it's not really that abstract, but it can be. Love can be a little bit extra abstract, but it ties in to what I talked about recently about know thyself. Because if you know and know thyself, then you're going to love yourself. And that's the tricky part. That's the tricky part, but that's what the words attributed to Jesus is saying, love your neighbor as yourself. So there is that factor in knowing who you are and loving thyself. There's also several other books. There's the love languages of children, and there's also the love language of God is one of the books, the love language of God. But to me, they're all interlinked. They're absolutely all interlinked with each other. In the Bible, I wrote some notes about this. In the Bible, talking about love and some perceptions that I agree with and some thoughts that I have on love, it says that marriage is a threefold what in the Bible? Cord. Yeah, threefold cord. And really, I believe that love is much the same. When people talk about love, a lot of times they're thinking about hearts, flowers, infatuation, or even heartbreak and loss. But when I think about love, I believe it is a continually evolving work of art that includes elements like kindness and compassion and understanding. Love is not effortless. It takes commitment and willingness to dig in deep. And work through the knots and frays that sometimes life creates. Even those three chords consist of many smaller chords yielding strength, laughter, forgiveness. The list goes on and on and on. But love is more than an emotion. It is a total state of being. Love is a total state of being. Now, Don, I see you out in the audience. I got to call you out for a second. Raise your hand. Don Drake, we talked. We had a good get-to-know-you session on Friday. And that's what happens is when you sit with me, you end up getting called out on Sunday mornings. And we got to talk about this idea of how the path of love sometimes can be, it's a path that can be, it can feel good and bad. And your path, and that there's light and shadows, there's both. And you worked with a shaman. Well, first of all, your wife brought you here about 6 years ago, and then you were on a spiritual journey then. and then you came back for Deepak Chopra, and then recently you found out about our Friday night service with the gong healing meditation, and you came back, and now you're coming every Sunday. That's great. But yeah. You should get to know his story because we both agreed we should both write a book called The Twisted Path. And let me explain that a little bit. The careers we have both had that have led us to this point. Because you're an engineer and you've worked over and been over oil fields as well. And so what he would do is he would sneak away after his shaman told him to. He had studied with a shaman a little while. And he snuck away from his fellow workers and went out into an oil field and meditated under a full moon. And virtually nothing happened. So then he went back, and I believe you told me if I have the story right, 3 times, and then he stayed dedicated with it because you got to dig in, it takes work, and then eventually he just felt so much love that there's no words to describe it. He was just light, and it changed his life. It's an incredible story, but, you know, steel cannot achieve its full strength without being in a fire. So we have this journey that we have to take to achieve our strength. And there's, by this book right here, Charles Fillmore, it's his very first book. It's called Christian Healing. And he talks a lot about love. There's a whole wonderful chapter about it. And he gets into what love really is. Love and divine mind is the idea of universal unity. So that's metaphysical, in that love is a divine idea, meaning that love is always there no matter what love language you're using to express and manifest it with others. Love is there. You can't change it. You can express it differently, but it is absolute. Like God, it's a divine idea. It's always there, and that's what we have to return to. I appreciate Eric, our spiritual intern, talking to me about how he fathers. Because what happens is no matter what happens with Serenity, no matter what she's going through, if she's upset because a dress don't fit, or because or because whatever challenge that she's facing, and even if she does something that's not right, in his heart, he's returning to this idea that love is universal. This divine idea that you can't take a sledgehammer to it. It's always there. It's always existing because it is from God. Return to universal unity. Return to that divine idea. And that's what he does when he's raising his child. So here's a definition in the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary: the difference between divine love and human love is that divine love is broad and unlimited. That's the key word. A universal and harmonizing power. That's why we say love transforms. Human love is based on personality and can be selfish, lawless, and fickle. Some Fillmorean language there. And actually, my mother's language, too. She'd say, don't be fickle. But I know what it's talking about. And I know what she was talking about. Because I know in my life, I can remember years, maybe even decades, where I felt I felt sort of a longing, or times in my life where I felt like a hole. And I know I was trying to fill it by saying, you know, if this relationship would work the way that I think it should, or if this person would do this, or if only this person loved me, then I would be complete and I would be full. But what I realized, much like you did in the oil field that day, is that it's this connection with God. It's this connection with God and this universal love that is always there, always present, omnipotent for me. That when I tap into that and when I aligned with it, my life became amazing and whole. And that's the truth. There's another definition here, one more definition. Divine love is impersonal. It loves for the sake of loving. It is not concerned with what or who it loves, nor with the return of love like the sun, its joy is in the shining forth of its nature. If everybody infused that and felt that in their heart of hearts in this world, could you imagine what we would have? And it starts with each one of us. Now, this is a quote from me, but it's not really specifically my words because it's been quoted in many different ways. Consider each act in your day is an expression of love or request for love. I'm kind of considering that picture right now. It looks like I should have an apple in front of it, an apple for the teacher. So we're going to move on from that pretty quick. But each act, and this goes along a little bit with the quote I put up a couple weeks ago when I was marrying two people that were in the hospital because one of the individuals was about to pass away. Everything said, everything that mattered in that room was love. We have, experts say, about 60,000 thoughts a day. 60,000 thoughts a day, and for some of you, I'm sure it's about twice that, right? Because we're thinking we're squirrel caging and all of this. But what would happen if with our thoughts we could become conscious of the idea of each thought being somehow laid in there, infused in there of love? Somehow. Because according to this divine idea, it's there anyway, it's up underneath somewhere. So in our acts and our thoughts, we can kind of create this love net that can go over everywhere that we are. Be motivated by love. Okay, here's a curveball I want to ask you. Here's the thought question of the day. A little bit of a challenge. Do you think that blame and love can go together? No? Okay. So I want to challenge you a little bit. Let me ask it in another way. Can laying blame where appropriate lead to forgiveness, which leads to a stronger love? Think about that one for a second. There's a book called The Tao of Fully Feeling, and explains that perhaps a healthy blaming, and you could use another word if you want, because I know that we can, as human beings, run with our mind away blaming folks, blaming people. Well, I can't love you because of this, this, and this. I'm blaming them. And it may not even be something factual that they even did. So understand it can be used negatively, but it can be used healthy as well. In this book, The Tao of Fully Feeling talks about the need for blame, recommending it to anyone who's been the subject of some type of abuse. Points out that forgiveness is meaningless if we have not allowed ourselves a chance to realize what truly happened. So I think what happens sometimes is that we may mask a way that we're feeling as forgiveness, but we haven't truly forgiven. So what he is saying is laying blame where appropriate at the foot of that person or situation. In other words, communicating, "You hurt me," can help release perhaps shame, perhaps guilt, and then truly move you into a place of forgiveness, which will truly move you into a place of love transforms. An example that he gives is about children, that many times, often, and there's certainly cases of this with trafficking these days, that the vast majority of the kids come away from an abusive situation feeling that it was their fault somehow. And having to grow up with that shame and blame of themselves as opposed to putting it in a healthy way where it belongs. Here's a quote that I like by Bell Hooks that kind of describes it too. She says, "For me, forgiveness and compassion are always linked. How do we hold people accountable for wrongdoing and at the same time remain in touch with their humanity enough to believe in their capacity to be transformed?" Now, you are a master if you can perfect this. Can you be compassionate, be balanced? You know, if somebody hurt you, to be able to say, "Yes, okay, you did this," but be compassionate towards them and link it with forgiveness so that you can truly love them. One more quote on this. T.D. Jakes says, I think the first step is to understand that forgiveness does not exonerate the perpetrator. Forgiveness liberates the victim. It's a gift you give to yourself. Now that's a love language right there, giving yourself that gift. I want to tell you one more story before we close. And I want to thank Gary Thornberry, our licensed Unity teacher, for this story. Did Gary just clap for himself? No, he didn't. That doesn't seem like Gary. Oh, it's that 1, 2, 3, 6, power six row back there. You guys are clapping for Gary. He gave me this article by Colby Itkowitz about a family, about the Roberts family. And the Roberts family, well, they had a son, 32-year-old. And they live at, they're not Amish, but their neighbors are Amish. And one day, unfortunately, their son, 32-year-old son, went into the schoolhouse, and you may remember this story from over 10 years ago. It's been about 11 years ago. And the 32-year-old son actually, well, he let the boys go, but not the girls. And he, five of them survived, wounded, and five of them did not. It was an incredibly sad story, but the Edwards family, the parents, who, as far as everyone knew, and by all evidence, were extremely good parents, felt that they for sure would have to leave town, that they would be ostracized from this community that they cared about. A few hours later, the Amish family sent word to them that they did not view them as the enemy. Instead, they viewed them as parents who were grieving too, the loss of their child. They all struggled to make sense of the senselessness, and they still do, but the Amish families went on a path of forgiveness. They went on a path of love. And not just because their faith said they needed to, they had to actually work and struggle with it, and even more than forgive the couple, they embraced the couple into their community. When Terry Roberts underwent stage 4 recovery or treatment in the hospital for breast cancer, one of the victims, one of the girls, helped clean her home before she returned from the hospital. They consciously decide to forgive one day at a time. One day at a time. And one of the gentlemen's name in this community, his name is actually Christ King. I don't know if that's his real name or he developed that name over time, but he was in the community and he said, I've always said and continue to say, we have a lot of hard work to be what the people brag about us to be. So what that speaks to is that the press and the world was amazed by how this family embraced the Roberts. But he's being honest here and saying that it's daily work to be able to do that. Love and divine mind is the idea of universal unity. This picture here was painted by my friend Sandy Groves, who was here last week, and you know, it makes me think about, again, people reaching out no matter the age, and no matter how they are connecting in love. So today, before we quit, I want us to do a prayer and meditation together to see about opening our hearts bigger. Considering your love language, considering the divine idea of love. And I ask you to just close your eyes if you're willing. Consider the question, when is love not enough? When is love not enough? The answer is never. collective breath, willing to be open, willing to receive from Spirit. We continue to breathe deeper. Continue to bring love into every breath. How many ways can you say love? How many ways can you show love? Let's continue to breathe deeper. With your hands relaxed, fully present. Feet on the floor. Bringing your breath to your heart space now. Breathing in love with each in breath. Infusing it with love on the out-breath. With this next breath, say to yourself, I love you. Be willing, be open. With another deep breath, saying, I love you. Affirm, I love you to you, that you are worthy. Affirm, I love you to the people in this room. Continuing to breathe. I love you to everyone in the world. Wrap your love around this entire world. Using the power of truth, using the divine idea of love, infuse every heart on this planet. Every heart. On this planet. In this next breath, we are going to affirm together out loud, I love you. Together, I love you. Feel that love in your mind. Feel that love in your brain now as it lets go. It lets everything go. Becomes full of compassion. Full of love. Easing your mind. Deeper still. Feel it in your fingertips. Every cell of your body. I love you. Continue this breath. Continue wrapping each cell of your body with this love and each individual connected on earth in the silent and sacred silence. We are so grateful, God, for this moment, for the power of love, and that we are love. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen and amen. How are you going to say love? How are you going to show love? Do the work each day. Do the work each day. And I will see you. How do you say love like this, maybe? There we go. That's our cowboy on our kitchen staff wall saying it that way. He's jazzed up for Valentine's Day with that enthusiasm of love. Carry this into your week. I will see you next week with Michael Gott. And so it is, je t'aime. Amen.
Thank you, James. Our hearts are full, and we know that we have everything we need to transform our world with love. It is an unlimited power, and it's always there. So now's the time where we're able to give back to our community.